live from the Findlay Toyota Studios.
0 points from D'Lo. You could solve the housing crisis with all those bricks. You better start learning Chinese.
It's Cofield and Company.
Don't think I forgot about Rui Hachimura. You've been absolutely useless. Better start packing your bags, too. Another no-show from AD in the fourth. Is anybody surprised? 3 more days of Darvinham. I've got to be grateful for that. He's absolutely clueless. I'm glad it's almost over. This is humiliating.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Damn, LeBron just losing it. Lakers season done. Nuggets, dispatch of them in 5. Miles Simmons is in. He's in L.A. What's up, Miles?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're good, man. Wasn't that strong from LeBron James?
Yeah, that was some real strong AI stuff.
Ah, come on! Buy into it! We've been trying to do this with all of our guests when a good AI comes along. And
that good, though.
No.
I've heard too much LeBron James, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
Being from Cleveland and rooting for him for, you know, basically all of my life. Like I always say, he's the one that made me like basketball in the first place. And now, you know, being in Los Angeles, as you just said, like I've heard too much LeBron James. That was too obvious of a fake to me.
I've been trying to go after a couple of Lakers friends of mine for just flaming out and not tanking the way they should have and set up a better matchup. And their response is, can never take away that in-season title.
Oh,
they are
goodness,
really? They are really riding this thing. Have you heard that at all around town?
I mean, it's not like I'm frequenting, like, talking to Lakers fans, at least.
Hanging out at sports bars in Santa Monica?
Can I give you a tip? Go look at the mayor's Twitter account.
No.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
She
tweeted
about it.
Bass.
She did?
Oh, no.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Yeah, she said something. Oh. Yeah, cause you know why I saw it was because Rachel Nichols retweeted it last night.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, yeah, come on. Well,
Karen,
I can't.
Karen is the mayor still, right?
Yes. Yeah. Karen Bass is the mayor of Los Angeles, which I am not eligible to vote for because I technically do not live in Los Angeles city limits, but yes.
Who's the mayor of your town?
I don't know. It's somebody that doesn't matter. It's the Santa Monica City Council that really matters, and then they somehow choose a mayor. It's dumb. I don't know.
Will you ever run for mayor?
I can't rule it out, you know?
Nice.
I don't know. Maybe I will at some point, you know? I don't know. I don't think that a life in politics would probably be right for me, but, you know, I could get like Bob Iger and get to retirement age and then be like, man, I kind of want to be the senator from California and then realize that that's never going to happen, so, you know.
I think she deleted the tweet. It's got to be saved somewhere. Come on, stick with it. It's a good
screenshots are forever, man.
It's a good take.
Screenshots are forever.
Yeah, the in-season title means something.
Does it?
She said you left it all on the floor. Thank you, Lakers.
I don't know if
that's what she left up.
Nicer, you know. I mean, that's true. It's not like they didn't, you know, they didn't take it down to the wire in most of those games. I mean, if Jamal Murray's got to hit 2 buzzer beaters in order to get you to lose in a 4-1 series, I mean, like it's a gentleman's sweep. But that was closer than, you know, a 4-1 would make you think. As
They led 75% of the series. They led at the half every game.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, that's part of why I think the criticism has been so heavy on him. Because when you're leading games like that, it's like, okay, how do you close it out? Now, by that same token, you know, you've got a bunch of guys that just won a championship last year. So it's not like they don't have experience. And going into this series, you know, they had beaten the Lakers however many times in a row. I think it got up to, what, 11, 12 in this series. So it's not like, you know, when they're down, they're like, oh, man, guess we're not beating LeBron James tonight. Like, they have no fear. And, you know, that I think that showed throughout the series.
Boy, the derision coming from across the pond as well. L.A. mayor embarrassingly deletes tweet. Not deletes an embarrassing tweet. Now, the Brits are mad, at least someone who wrote the story, Leo Ciano Callo, is annoyed that the tweet got deleted by Mayor Bass. So these things happen. Am I right on this, on the grammar part of this? In-season tournament, there's a hyphen there, isn't there not?
Should be.
Yes, okay. Between in and in season, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Tough season, but at least we won the in-season tournament, Bass said, proud of our team at Lakers. I'm cool with that. She's trying.
It's a Magic Johnson coded tweet, you know,
sure.
Like kind of, is it not?
Yeah, they left their heart and soul at T-Mobile Arena. They left it all on the floor, had nothing left.
That was the high point of the season.
It was. That's all,
but
who cares?
But to Miles' point.
There's a NBA champion every year. There's one in-season tournament champion ever.
Miles, they're not far away. Sure. They're not far away. Do you want them to build with a another superstar, if it's like a Trae Young, superstar is probably strong, but Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, or do you want, you know, hey, they need a more well-rounded team around the big two?
I don't care. I don't care what they do. I want LeBron James to go back to Cleveland. I saw Carrie Champion yesterday talking about how, you know, she heard that it's going to be LeBron's last game in purple and gold.
She heard. Let's get the tweet right here because this better be true. She said, I had a friend text me, this is the last game or this is the last go-around as a Laker for LeBron.
He's moving to Golden State.
Oh, you know what? There are odds up in faraway places. If he does leave the Lakers, next landing spot is Golden State.
Go Dubs.
3-1.
Let's go Dubs.
How about that?
Dub Nation.
Hey, they're gonna start putting that thing together once they have all the practices for Team USA. So maybe.
I hope we have another decision. That's all I want.
Oh, God. You know, as we continue to talk about basketball, so I was just graduated high school when the decision happened, and so I was with a bunch of my high school buddies, and we went to a sports bar, you know, and we watched that. And so when it happened, like literally one of my buddies like gets up, he's wearing a witness t-shirt and he tears it in half, like Superman style, just rips it. And it was incredible. And they started going on, this is worse than when the Browns left. And we were like, no, dude, like we still have a team, except really we didn't until he came back in 2014. So maybe he was right.
Were you depressed?
I was a little sad about it, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I got over it once he came back. It was cool.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. We will get to the football in a couple of minutes, but, you know, I know you have other interests. I think that's why you're on with us, because you're a very well-rounded individual. Adam, you were listening to what coming in today?
Euphoria.
Oh, my gosh.
Miles, you in?
Oh, finally, something in pop culture that I really do know what we're talking about here. Yes.
I was predicting you might not know it, and then for some reason, Adam said I was going with some sort of stereotype when I said I was going to ask you about it.
Because I was talking about Euphoria. He's like, we'll wait for Miles to come on. I'm like, whoa, what is that
about?
You
know that's not the way I meant it. We've had incidents in the past where we've asked him something. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was not big on Sexy Red.
Okay. I didn't know who Sexy Red was. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I know who this is. I know Kendrick, man. I mean, L.A. guy, you know. Man, that was a hell of a track. Wow.
If you were, if you were Drake, would you cry?
Probably.
Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah.
I
would be in my feelings for sure. I mean, I don't know how many ghostwriters he's going to have to round up in order to really respond to that. But I might just let it go.
Now you're trying to kick him when he's down, too.
I mean, listen, it's not my fault. You know, we got called a deadbeat dad. Said there are words you shouldn't be saying. Talking about, I don't like the women you know.
And that was all, by the way, a callback to the DMX interview from Breakfast Club in 2012, which DMX just basically said all those same things a decade ago, and now Kendrick just brought them back in a verse form, which he, by the way, two entirely different songs in one, just changes the beat and it goes harder. It was wildly impressive.
Which, I mean, you could say that, like, that is the kind of like the song that he did with Travis Scott, which is the name of which is, escaping me right now. You know the song I'm talking about?
The Drake one? Or the Kendrick one?
The Drake one.
I mean, he has a ton of them. He's saying, like, Sicko Mode.
Yeah, thank you, Sicko Mode. Yes, jeez. Yeah. Oh, God, guys.
Steve's just sitting back looking.
No, I'm listening.
Wondering what is happening.
What is happening? You guys spitting information, and then you freaking hit the wall. It only lasted a couple minutes, and then you're like, we don't know.
Well, there's a lot of things that are said on the track that we really can't just openly discuss.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Okay, all right, this is must listen on my ride home.
Not on the radio, at least,
Solid.
All right, Miles, NFL draft.
Should somebody make Euphoria about the Falcons?
That's a great transition. Okay. Yes, because what they did doesn't make much sense. And, you know, I thought it was interesting because everybody was really, really shocked by it. But, you know, I mean, I read a lot of stuff that comes out from whether it's the team markets or national folks. And there were a couple of people who had written, and I think Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports, was one of them. And I can't remember the other, otherwise I would say it. But they're talking about how succession was important for the Falcons at quarterback. And so when you have something like that, and we all saw the report that they flew out to Washington, you know, to Seattle to work out Michael Penix, like that made this selection not a complete surprise to me, but that doesn't mean that it's good. And I think when you pay somebody like Kirk Cousins as much as you did, you know, he's getting nine figures, and you're basically cutting him off at the knees by saying, all right, well, we're already planning for you to leave. We're not all in on you, you know. And then for Michael Penix, like, I don't know if there are many worse destinations for him to go to, simply because he's not going to be able to play. And this is somebody who is already on the older side of a quarterback coming into the league, right? 24. So when you are that old and you have as much experience as he has, he could play now, and he should be playing now. And so to say, oh, well, as the Falcons GM said, Terry Fontenot, he says, oh, you know, we could sit him for 4 to 5 years. If I'm hearing that, I'm like, bleep that. What are you doing? Because if that's the case, then I'm going to be damn near 30 by the time I get on the field, and nobody's going to know what I can do, and that's going to cut off my earning potential. So I don't think it's a good situation for anybody.
Shouldn't every team in the league – we had this discussion with some people the other day. Shouldn't every team in the league be calling the Falcons and saying, all right, what do you want for Kirk Cousins?
Well, no, because that would be prohibitive to the cap. I mean, it doesn't – next offseason, yes. This offseason, no. I mean, it wouldn't make much sense because now you're like – you would force Michael Penix into a situation where it's, well, he better be better than what Kirk Cousins is right now, and that's kind of not fair, you know? I mean, it almost makes more sense to be like, what do you want from Michael Penix, right?
Yeah.
You know, and trade for him rather than Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, I don't like the plan there because I think, you know, yes, you can say, okay, well, the quarterbacks next year, they're not going to be as good, la, la, la. But I think if you were really trying to develop somebody, that'd be one thing. You're just basically saying right now, well, we want to hoard quarterbacks. And I don't think that's good resource allocation if you're trying to build a team to win the Super Bowl.
Let's ride with this. Should the Raiders make the call? Could they do it salary cap wise? I mean, not clearly. We think the Raiders went into this thinking, hey, we could probably get a quarterback in the draft, and that may be our quarterback of the future, but they all got selected before we could grab them. So you got to maneuver here. Could the plan be, hey, call them up. Hey, you know what? You guys love Penix? We'll give you something for Cousins. Could it, I don't know if you guys know, could it work money-wise? Miles?
I was confused on it, and Miles, you might know this, but the one thing that I was trying to figure out, and I talked to some people and I got exact opposite answers. Because the Falcons already paid the bonus up front, like that might not necessarily translate over if it's a post-June 1st trade, that you wouldn't have to have the bonus attributed to your salary cap. But I think there's a lot of moving pieces there in terms of where that would go. But yeah, it's a lot of money. It's a ton of money. So that is a contributing factor.
Yeah, it is. And frankly, I don't know offhand. I would have to really go look at it. I don't know that it would make much sense from the Raiders' perspective to really give up a big asset for somebody like a Kirk Cousins. I mean, maybe if they were willing to shop Michael Penix, but they shouldn't be because they just picked him at 8 overall. So like that, none of it makes any sense, right? And so I think when we're trying to do the thought experiment, it's like, well, this could make sense, and it's like, well, it doesn't make any sense. But I guess that by that same token, if nothing makes sense, then a trade would make sense, right? So yeah, I don't know. I feel like though with the Raiders, the way that they pivoted, doubling down on tight end by getting Brock Bowers, like it's a good selection because
Ooh.
I don't think there's much doubt that Brock Bowers is going to be a good pro now. Can somebody get him the ball this year? I don't really know that we have the answer to that either. I mean, Gardner Minshew is fine, but when you're playing for a full season, it's tough, man. It's really tough. So that Raiders defense is going to have to be elite, right? Like really elite, in order for the Raiders to be truly competitive, if that's the guy who's throwing the ball. And like, I mean, unless Aiden O'Connell makes a huge leap going into year two, and we can see him be more consistent, you know, in delivering the ball to where it needs to be.
There is a corner of Raider Nation that is making the pitch that Gardner Minshew, when you look at the numbers, is the same level quarterback as Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, God. I saw something like that. You know, use your eyes, all right? Watch the games, okay? I understand using numbers, and I use numbers too, and that's all well and good, but watch the games, man. You know, don't just sit there behind like a computer desk and you're like, oh, well, look, Gardner Minshew can do the same things as Trevor Lawrence. Like, no, he can't. And I don't think Trevor Lawrence is even really in the, like, great conversation. He's above average right now. I was really disappointed by the way he performed last year, particularly down the stretch. So, I mean, it's not like you're comparing him, Gardner Minshew, to, you know, the elite of the elite. But if you watch the games, then you will understand that Gardner Minshew is nowhere near the level of quarterback that Trevor Lawrence is, especially when we're talking about potential and ceiling.
How about who's the best quarterback for the Raiders? Because I will say I was having this discussion with John Von Tobel, our friend here of the show.
He's your friend.
He's a big Colts fan, and he said Aiden O'Connell is the starter. And I said, how do you know? He said, I watched a lot of Colts games last year. And I said, well, I watched a lot of Raiders games last year. Yeah. I don't know who the starter is.
I don't know either. I mean, this is a competition where it is a competition because it's – I mean, with Gardner Minshew, he's going to turn the ball over a lot sometimes, you know, especially if once the teams get film on him and what he's doing in this particular offense, then he gets that much more predictable. So watching Gardner Minshew last year down the stretch where it's just like sometimes he's running around, he's throwing up YOLO balls, like that's the kind of thing you're going to get, which is part of what makes him a quality backup. Right. If he doesn't have to play every week for 17 weeks, you know, if he's making a spot start or two, he can continue to lead your offense and play at a competent level. But, you know, it's like once you're asking him to do more than what his ability dictates that he should be doing, then that's where he's going to get into trouble. I mean, with Aiden O'Connell, at least he's younger, you know. I mean, with Minshew, he's been in the league now 5 years going into year six. So we really know what he is as a QB. Aiden O'Connell has more potential, right, because he's gotten experience, so he should be better going into year two. But I think when you see some of the performances, like, you know, yeah, you beat the Chiefs, but, man, you couldn't complete a pass after the first freaking quarter. You know, you got shut out by the Vikings, couldn't even score more than, like, a point, you know, and then somehow you beat Brandon Staley 63 to whatever it was. Like, there's potential with O'Connell, but it's got to be a significant step forward in year two in order for him to really be the best quarterback option.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, Peacock, NBC. I have a feeling behind the scenes there's rivalries out there with all you football people. So I want to see what your reaction is to Boomer and Sims going bye-bye on the CBS pregame show, and they bring in J.J. Watt, who I think has potential to at least can do social media, and Matt Ryan. What do we think?
Well, I'm a little biased. I mean, I don't work with him much, but I do work with Phil Simms' son, Chris. You know, I have the other co-hosting spot on the show. He co-hosts with Mike Florio, PFT Live, which will be, of course, this week. I'm on the show Friday, so you can check that out at 4 a.m. Pacific time, but also catch the replays all day on Peacock. So, I mean, I think that's a little bit of a shame that, you know, when you get rid of somebody like a Phil Simms, who's been there for as long as he has and, you know, has made some good contributions, at least Boomer still going to be doing his radio show. And I think that Boomer's not bad either, but, you know, I mean, Matt Ryan and J.J. Watt, you're trying to get people who, you know, people my age are more familiar with when they played, you know, that's kind of who we grew up watching and we watched when we were in college and all these different kinds of things. So I don't know how much more insightful they will be on the game, you know? I mean, I think Nate Burleson does a great job. James Brown does a great job. Bill Cowher has been there for a long time, too. So we'll see how it turns out. But, yeah, there's certainly some interesting turnover there at CBS.
Jason Kelce appears to be joining ESPN ABC Monday Countdown. I think he has a lot of potential. Not that I'm some expert on this. I'm just a viewer. But is there a chance Jason Kelce is simply a product of a podcast that just edits really well in a little clips, and he's just very presentable that way?
I would say probably not, because I think I've watched a lot of Jason Kelce press conferences in my capacity as, you know, a writer for PFT, and I mean, he's eloquent, he's thoughtful, he is energetic, you know? I mean, think about the speech he made after they won the Super Bowl,
like it's still,
you know,
going
over the Patriots. Yeah, probably is, right? So, you know, I think Kelce will be really good on this. I do.
And also, like, you can watch the whole podcast. It's not just in clips. I do watch almost the whole thing every
week. Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very sliced and diced, though, when it's presented to the masses.
Sure.
Well, I mean, the masses also can go and watch the episodes.
Yeah, we're lazy. Yeah. I'll rep the masses. We're lazy. I'm lazy.
That's fine.
Swifties watched the whole episode.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
The comments are just out of control.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, they're all over
it? For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
All over it.
I love it. I thought that was a really classy answer a couple minutes ago on your part, and I just made the connection that Phil and, Chris. So you don't want to slam Phil Simms, but are you feeling, like behind the scenes, are you feeling a bit muscled up when you see rumors of NBC maybe jumping back in to get involved in the NBA and doubling the previous price that TBS TNT played? This could be a big thing for Peacock, and that's for both you and Adam. Adam's got a lifetime membership. This could be a great thing. Where's Tesh?
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Are you auditioning for an NBA spot?
I would if they'll have me.
NBA talk.
I could, man. You know what? I'll just play in the beginning of this segment. Obviously, I watch the games. I kind of know what I'm talking about a little bit. I never covered basketball professionally, but I bet I could.
You can thank us later. May have been some methods of the madness. We were giving a little tryout.
Maybe. No, I like
it. We know you love the sport.
I do. I got to turn on the Cavs right after I get off with you guys.
Especially this time of year. You're like, you know what? I'll forego the draft coverage. I'll jump on the NBA early. I'll move over to the NBA product for us.
You know what's funny? I mean, I love the NBA playoffs. I really do. And so when you get the other football league, which I don't even know what it's called anymore. I'm sorry. But what is it? UFL now?
UFL.
Yeah, so they're playing on Saturday, and then I get a text from somebody I work with, I won't mention names, and they start saying, oh man, Detroit really missed an opportunity. They should have had the Michigan Panthers come on at 7 Eastern. And I'm like, you think that people are going to watch that instead of the NBA playoffs? And then somebody else I worked with said, the product's not really good enough for it to matter anyway.
That's true.
Well, that was a sad way to end the interview, but it's honest. And the NBA product on Peacock wants honesty. So, Miles,
we'll
continue to use you as at least, about 25% of the spot, NBA. So be ready.
Man, it sucks.
Sounds great.
It sucks we're out of time. We really wanted to break down what's happened at your alma mater, Columbia, but we just don't really have time.
See you guys. Yeah. Bye.
Right, Miles, we'll see. Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. Check out profootballtalk.com for Miles Simmons and his fine work, and maybe he'll kind of slip it by Florio. Get some NBA in there.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So last two shows, Cofield and Company, we talked about this weird encounter with David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, walking into a restaurant because the restaurant had a sign out front, basically speaking to him, let the GM and the coach make the picks, please. He actually walks into the restaurant and is having a conversation and takes a guy's hat off. I don't know anyone in my life who would have handled it like that manager at that restaurant, Adam. Like, you're pretty meek. I think even you would have been like, whoa, don't be going at my head. The only other guy is, and you know what I'm going to say? It's John, right? Our good friend who lives in Charlotte, and you get so upset with this because he's the nicest guy we've ever met in the sports media.
Well, also,
he's just a wholesome character.
He really is.
John Trich is with us in Charlotte. John, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, good to hear from you guys. Yeah.
We miss you so much, and so does Adam. Adam misses you a lot.
It's true.
You are the moral barometer he needs.
That's good. No, I'll try to inject that here for the next few minutes.
We need it.
I think looking back at your time in Vegas, were you too nice? Were you didn't have the you need to battle. You need to fight, and you were just so sweet and friendly to everybody.
I know, like a hip hop battle. Yeah, was that J. Cole?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, J. Cole, you're in Carolina now. That's good. That's a good reference. I like it.
Right, I know.
It's solid.
Try to relate, yeah.
Yeah, that is a thing. Like, when you're in a place where people are just mean and nasty all the time, like, how do you maintain being just friendly?
I know. I looked at you as a target, Adam. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
He's going to miss me when I leave.
That's true.
And it took some work. It took 6 years, but we did it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. All right, how big is this story? Because I'm fascinated by an owner thinking that, whether it's playful or not, I'm going to walk into a restaurant, confront them about a sign, take a kid's hat off. Has this already calmed down? Are people like, what is this guy? He's our NFL owner. What is he doing?
People have moved on, but it doesn't. It just adds to the legacy of David Tepper being just wholly unlikable.
Wow.
And I don't know. I mean, he's replaced Mark Davis. He's replaced A lot of guys in the league, like Jerry Jones, isn't even on the radar when it comes to unlikable. I mean, it is consensus, and he, like, there'll be situations where a columnist, a well-regarded columnist, will write something about him meddling, and they'll have a press conference, and they'll go out of their way not to call on the columnist who's been sitting in the first row since the inception of the franchise. And, like, it's just petty stuff like that all the time. And this is the richest owner in the National Football League, and he's going into the Dilworth Grill, a place that I frequent because I can afford it. It's four blocks from my apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And they, and I tell you what, they have signs all the time, and it's real clever writing. It's like, oof, they'll be like, OOF, oof, I remember when we were good, like in the middle of the season, or, you know, things like that, and or like, Miller time, come get a free beer. Oh, wait, you're too young. And things like that. Yeah, it's terrific. And but it's a popular place, and they have Panther shuttles coming out of this parking lot. And he goes in there, and yeah, but nobody got your sense of humor, man. You know,
how's the food there?
It's not as good as Las Vegas, and I tell people that all the time. You can get a great meal at 3 p.m. or 3 a.m. in Las Vegas. I miss. You know the bar, like at Bermuda and St. Rose?
Yeah, sure.
You know the bar? Yeah. I used to go there all the time. I used to go there after Sunday night, every Sunday night, and the best chicken parm sandwich. The food in Las Vegas is what I miss so much.
Well, I'm at the place where David Tepper went, though.
Yeah, I know. I was just, okay. It's not
very good. I got you.
It's not very good. He's trying to dance around. He pivoted to a positive.
I got you. It was good. I forgot. He finds a way to make every question positive if it's negative.
Yeah.
So, put Tepper aside, what is the mood like now? This is supposed to be year two of a rebuild. I mean, technically, I guess you could say it's year one because you got Canales in there. What's the mood in terms of upside for this team? And, you know, given your quarterback, your number one pick, a better chance this time around.
Yeah, it wasn't Bryce Young's fault, but he didn't help his case at all, especially as C.J. Stroud just erupted. And that was the talk. Everybody would be monitoring here. Well, did you see what C.J. did, like, in the press box? Wow, C.J. just threw four touchdowns. And, I mean, that was the year. And then they'd even ask Frank Reich, you know, do you watch what T.J. Stroud does? And he says, yes. He said yes. But he's like, well, I look around the league with everyone. But, you know, it's a team that has a huge deficit of talent. And, I mean, the playmakers. And, you know, and Adam Thielen, a great pro. But he's not being confused with any of the guys coming out of LSU, whether it be Jefferson Chase or Neighbors even, like, they don't have anybody like that. And you look into the stands, and I've never seen a place in any level of sports that has more jerseys of players who no longer play for the franchise. The stadium is, I mean, other than a few Bryce Young jerseys, there's nobody. It's Luke Kuechly, it's Thomas Davis, it's Cam Newton, it's Christian McCaffrey. It's nobody current. And that's the issue. There's no star power in Charlotte.
Different sport real quick. The Hurricanes are playing really well. They're 2.5 hours away in Raleigh.
Yes.
Do people in Charlotte care?
There is kind of a deep-seated hockey culture here. But the Hurricanes, honestly, totally undercovered because in this region, outside of the Atlanta Braves, they are the most consistent contender in the Mid-South. They are awesome, and it's a great atmosphere, but it's really isolated. Like in Vegas, I made the joke once on air, have you ever met a Carolina Hurricanes fan? But they're a big deal here, and they're great. They also share the arena with NC State basketball. So on one pillar, it'll be a hockey legend. On the next pillar will be David Thompson. Like it's an interesting setup. They haven't quite figured that out, but it's a lot of fun.
Are we gonna get DJ Burns one of those pillars?
Yeah, DJ Burns. Yeah, he's a big deal, man. Like he's every four commercials, DJ's flinging something.
Is he a good actor? I haven't seen a commercial.
Yeah, it's like regional with the local like heating and cooling and
oh, nice.
Yeah, no, he's a, by all accounts, a really good kid. Honestly, I hope people are fired up about DJ Thomas in Las Vegas.
You know, you know what's funny with John? He has a lot of Vegas stuff up on his Twitter handle still, at Hometown JT. You follow the Vegas stories. I know you do. By the way, also, I got to mention to the audience, the king of the feature. The long piece feature. I watched your piece on, what is it still Bojangles Coliseum? Is that the sponsorship of the Checker, the old Checker? I don't even know if the Checkers exist anymore, but I thought that was dynamite.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I mean, people didn't know, like, in their own town that it opened with Elvis in 1956, you know, stuff like that. So I love telling those stories. But I also miss just the crop of talent that comes out of Las Vegas every year. I mean, it, like seeing Romo Dunze, and I go back and look at stories of Jim with them and Troy out of Liberty being drafted in the first round by the Steelers. And I got to tell you, after NBA games and the Hornets, because I'm just looking for some connection, I'll go in the tunnel and greet Julian Strother or Jaden Hardy. I still keep in contact. I'll text their parents and be like, you know, your kid's doing well. But and like Vegas is so prominent right now in professional sports, and I miss it, to be honest.
So I got to lean on you for this, because we're being very complimentary of John Trich, who was at 8 News Now, and now he's in Charlotte doing TV there, and check him out at Hometown JT. Wanted him on to talk about the Tepper invasion of a local restaurant.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I totally sideswiped your conversation.
Oh, not at all. No, we're fine. I wanted to ask you, because I think you're a good guy to lean on, because I think you really appreciate the purity of sports. You're an old soul. When you watch what's going on, like, I'm glad you mentioned DJ, Dinon Thomas, because – like, we're still waiting here on pins and needles. The deadline is tomorrow to get into the portal, and we've seen in the Mountain West Conference guys out of nowhere from other schools go in. What do you think about the portal? Because I know you're also a Nebraska football fan, and guess what? The path back to Nebraska football being a gigantic success probably is using the transfer portal to a certain extent.
No, 100%, but it's the schools, like, in the American Conference that I cover and the Mountain West that are getting absolutely decimated. Yep. I mean, it is creating a tear right before our eyes. I like NIL, name ends like NIL, and I like, you know, the ability to, especially with all the money coaches are making, but the portal, there's just got, they need to rein it in, because I just think it's a disservice to the kids, too. It's a disservice to their ability to grow and compete and, you know, battle adversity. Like, that's part of the process. And it kills mid-major schools. Just a quick example. I was told kind of off the record that, like, the 49ers and the American Conference, their NIL a lot pool is about $200,000 for basketball. One kid got more than that to go to an SEC school.
Yep.
And he was their best player, their most athletic swing forward. And it just devastates programs like that. And I think Kevin's doing a great job in getting bounce backs. I think Lenny LaRock's going to need to do that too, to get Power 5 bounce backs to help, you know, for one-year runs, unfortunately.
Yep, it's a whole system now. Basically, guys move up and out of the AAC and Mountain West Conference, and then you've got to either get the, like you said, the bounce backs, the drop downs, or you're going to bring guys up. It's very complicated. You got to be working it, and women, you got to be working it all the time. Do you see, like, I have no idea what they talk about in the AAC. I know this out this way, the Pac-2, and especially Oregon State fans, they're like trying to put together this massive nationwide Pac-14. I wonder if a lot of the AAC schools that are still remaining in the conference, if they're like, oh, yeah, we want to be in a conference with UNLV and Washington State.
Well, they can't afford it. Like, yeah. I mean, so many of these schools, their best teams are Olympic sports. And, I mean, it would just crush them. And it would, all of their fundraising would be just to keep them, to keep it alive, let alone roster retention. I think we're going to get back to regionalized conferences. You saw a couple weeks ago, I don't know if it was On Three or whatever, talked about, you know, breaking it down into regions, like power regions within the structure of the top money-making schools. I just think that it's going to lead to that, because it's about ready to be obsolete, like a completely different level of college athletics, that level. And it crushes a great coach. Like, Wendy LaRock, in my opinion, is on the UNLV Mount Rushmore with in coaching, you know, with Tark, and she's done such a great job. But getting good players there when they're being offered four times to go to a middling Pac-12 school or Big 12 school now is just, it's crushing.
Don't end on a sad note, but I do want to ask you about, you know, we talked about being from Nebraska and how much you care about people back there. I know it's some tough times back there. So first, how's everybody doing, and just how decimating has that been for the communities back in Nebraska?
Yeah, it's it was hard. I flew in this last weekend just because I was going to go to the spring game and spend time with my family, and I try to do that every spring now. And I got back Thursday, Friday. Some of the largest tornadoes to ever hit the region went through the most populated place in the state. Now, the thing that people on the coast don't understand, and I get it, they're like, oh, I couldn't live there because of the tornadoes. Well, no one died. Like, it's a precise but devastating path. But, like, I was in my parents' basement all Friday as sirens were roaring. But we knew we were in a good place because technology has afforded that. And so unless it goes through a economically depressed area like a trailer park where they don't have resources or shelter, people don't die from tornadoes. It creates billions of dollars of damage. But it leaves. And then in a place that is community first, like, thankfully I'm from Nebraska. Like, so before I left, I flew back last night. And before I left, I went with my parents and went to a serving site. And, you know, we went to the damage and just to see, you know, people's stoves dented and displaced in other people's yards. Like, just the horrific power of these storms just crushed these neighborhoods. And there were thousands of volunteers, people taking off work just to lend to help. And people were just like, you know, we're going to rebuild. And I love that.
Hometown JT up on Twitter. Have you looked ahead at the schedule? Not officially out, but you at least know the Panthers are going to be actually playing in Las Vegas. Can you make that trip?
Yeah, I'm trying. That'd be great.
There you go.
I would love to make that trip. What are the Raiders going to? Is it? Who's going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be?
we've got months to talk about that, John. Please don't put us on the spot.
How's your arm?
No, I hear you. I thought they would draft that. They just kind of rolled the dice with the best athlete available, it looks like.
Yeah, well, at that point, when the six quarterbacks are gone, they unless they were going to trade up, which I kind of think they should have, but they did not. What's wrong, Adam? What's going on?
Sorry, we can do it later. I just got a text. Formula One road closures begin May 5th.
Oh, God. Now, if John were here, John would have done a really nice feature on F1 and how it's all okay.
That's why we missed
it. Right. People here are so annoyed by F1. John, we appreciate it. It's late there. Thanks for checking in, and we definitely want to talk to you soon, especially you know, about the Panthers down the road when the schedule comes out, okay?
Awesome. I'll stay on task. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Well, that's the kind of conversation we have with John, is meandering. He's got a lot of thoughts.
He's just such a good guy.
He misses Las Vegas.
It's uncomfortable. We don't appreciate.
I'm very comfortable. I don't know why you get like all
niceness,
all weird about it.
Why are the roads closing this week?
I don't. Can we not?
Like, we just got back like last
what
Wednesday.
What roads are closing?
I don't even know or care. Formula One road closures begin May 5th. Be ready. Okay.
Where is this from? Like a company email?
No, it's a friend of mine that texted me.
But, is it a good source?
No, but he follows everything very closely.
Why would they close on May 5th?
I don't know. I believe it. Because literally last Wednesday, I think the last road reopened.
Do you drive?
Why not start?
Do you drive around that area?
I have to.
Whatever night it was over the weekend, I don't even know where the hell we were. But I was coming down Harmon from the east side, from UNLV in that area across. And I'm like, God, this is so, it's wonderful. The road is so smooth. So that's my last hurrah. That was it?
Yep, that's it.
That's the last. Oh, no. What a bummer.
trying to see where this information came from.
364-1100, 364-1100. Two VIP tickets going on right now to the San Gennaro Feast, May 8th to the 12th. M Resort, you can get your tickets at sangennarofeast.com. Again, two tickets for the San Gennaro Feast, May 8th to the 12th. I've got a little more on that John Saab story. You know, I'm very glass overflowing, and John was talking about the poor schools in the middle having their players stolen. We'll get some updates on the transfer portal because, yeah, the last 2 days were not good for the rest of the conference. And tick, 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 tick. Runner Rebels need to get through this with their current roster, so fingers crossed.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Oh, the portal. The portal. Football and basketball close here in the next couple days. Men's basketball, I'm guessing women's basketball, same timeline. Football as well. So football had a couple of transfers out a few weeks back. Actually, Dre Williams was much further back than that. He actually landed at Washington State. That's good for him.
Real good.
And UNLV wanted to turn over the defensive back room, so they brought in a ton of new defensive backs, lots with Arkansas ties. And Dre Williams out, and I would say sort of Jalen Catalan in from Arkansas and Texas. And then Marcus Miller. Cool kid. I liked him. Good conversations last year. One of those guys who admitted, hey, when you first get to college, sometimes you don't take it that seriously. And with this last staff, well, it's the current staff. For him, it's the last staff. But he kind of grew up and turned into a serviceable guy, got hurt a little bit. But anyway, he transferred. He landed at Middle Tennessee State. So it's good to see when UNLV football players are leaving, they're landing at good spots. Because in the past, as they were kind of cleaning up the roster, a lot of the guys didn't get opportunities and scholarships. Elsewhere, around the Mountain West Conference for basketball, did you see what happened the last couple of days? San Diego State lost a third starter. And it's a lower-level guy, but I think he was going to be a top 20 player in the conference. And Elijah Saunders, who's 6'7", about 235, can shoot the three, can power inside. Someone must have got to him because he got in before the deadline, so he's leaving. On the heels of Micah Parrish to Ohio State, Lamont Butler to Kentucky. The second-best freshman in the league this last year, JT Toppin, right at the deadline, he's out at New Mexico.
Good.
Good for him. It's not good for New Mexico.
Good for UNLV.
I mean, if UNLV holds it together these next couple of days, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there could be and this is one of the reasons, and it doesn't mean I'm going to win any money off of this, but I always talk about, and your money's locked up forever, Adam, not yours, mine, but I try to bet 4 or 5 national title hopefuls and get them at long odds, thinking that, hey, they're going to have a pretty good team. They're going to make the tournament and they can make a run. And USC was one of the teams. I'm like, Eric Musselman, the first year at a place, he's going to be a lunatic. And they must have so much money. So they've just gone into the portal. What, you know what's interesting? Did I mention this to you? Maybe it's an angle that I've thought about a bunch of times. I don't know what was going on at USC with Andy Enfield, but I feel like the powers that be told Mus, we need basketball players. We also need some academic types.
Yeah.
Because the infusion of Ivy League players is kind of weird at USC. I think he's landed 3 or at least 2. What, Yale guy? And I forget who the other one was. But best player, one of the best players in California at UC Davis. Landed Boise's wing, Abo. Landed Michigan wing today. So it's been crazy. It's been crazier than it's ever been.
I mean, getting those guys enables you to then take some guys that aren't great academically, and it balances out.
Okay. I don't know who's not good, but I assume the Ivy League guys are good, you would think.
Matt Nolan.
And USC is also a good
Matt
school.
Matt Nolan is also a really good player.
It was a Penn player, that they took him and they're like, they're going to sit on the end of the bench. No, they're players. But it was interesting. They had a wave there where it was like a lot of academic schools, good academic schools, pulling in players. We got a lot of good stuff coming up Wednesday and Thursday. I'm going to save the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson stuff because that turned official. Yeah, I will mention real quick.
Instead of an exhibition.
What does that mean to you? We got like 20 seconds.
I mean,
smaller gloves. They're not going to wear the mega pillows. They were talking about 18-ounce gloves.
So
14-ounce gloves.
It's very tough for me to get fired up.
Really?
I do, of course, want to see Mike Tyson knock him out, of course.
Yes.
I don't want to see an old man knocked out, for sure.
That would be devastating. Yeah. So Tyson, have some stamina, and hopefully Jake Paul is unveiled as a phony, but unfortunately I don't think he is against a 57-year-old.